Kramer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour three.
Flying by.
Yikes.
Hour three of the show. This program is, of course, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Whether you're searching for the perfect venue for a company golf tournament or just looking for a relaxing round, Sundry Golf Club can deliver. Stay and play packages starting at $189 per person based on double occupancy. Check it all out online, sundrygolf.com. Boomer along with Matty Rose in for Ryan Pinder this week. Final show as, you're staying, right?
We'll see.
Okay.
Up in the air after this.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Thanks to Rhett. Got me at the end. Thanks to everybody texting in, all of it. A lot going on. I mentioned earlier about how the whole kind of show came to be, and it was nerve-wracking. Got to get you in. Going to need you to do mornings. Not sure what's going to happen with the show. If you maybe want to apply for it, but we'll see. But we need you to get it going. Luckily, I had an ace in the hole. A buddy of mine from years gone by was already there waiting to give me a hand.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back. Sportsnet 960 The Fan in Calgary.
They're not my cats.
Right.
I didn't name them. But the names... are Chubbs and Smokey.
You know, last time when I came to you for advice, you told me to waive it to move to Buffalo, Rhett. Friggin' Buffalo. It snows here like 10 goddamn months a year, you prick. Oh, yeah, you'll love it. Do it, Reg. Totally waive. Go to Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo. Hey, f*** you, man. So, yeah, forgive me if I don't call to ask you again for any more life-changing advice. I'm going to L.A. I don't care what you say. Go f*** yourself, Warner.
As we go to Bo Levi Mitchell. Good morning, Bo.
Hey, Calgary. It's Bo Levi Mitchell from Katy, Texas.
As you can imagine, plenty of people talking about who the quarterback should be moving forward.
That's up to Coach Huff, you know. Bo Levi, he's going to be here no matter what, you know. If Huff if he's into watching a good old boy from Katy, Texas, throw touchdowns light up that scoreboard like a Christmas tree, I'm right here, you know. I mean, I guess they could get a big old mess of bubble wrap old Drew Tate in it and trot him out there too, but, you know, to each his own, I suppose.
I'm picking up some bad blood.
That ain't like the old gunslinger, to be spiteful, you know.
Gunslinger, right.
That's not how I was raised. Down here in
Katy, Texas.
In Katy, Texas,
right.
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am, okay. I remember one time some galoot went and jackmaned the pocket dog stand.
I remember. Wasn't that over by the snow cone staging?
Yep.
What are you hearing trade rumor-wise? Eric Carlson, Max Pacioretty, Lucic, Kessel,
O'Reilly.
Backus, O'Reilly, blah, blah, blah.
What do you mean, what am I hearing?
Okay, thanks, Wax. We'll talk to you next week.
Cripes! It's 10 o'clock in sports. Three games in the NHL playoffs tonight.
It's time for the super in-depth, completely accurate, analytical NBA update.
All right, so last night in the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat over the Milwaukee Admirals, I guess, 104-91. Alonzo Mourning, tough to stop in this one. 23 points, that's not an even number, so probably a free throw or two in there and some blocks. Tim Hardaway comes off the bench, and he was really just throwing so many shots in the cylinder. Miami, the Fab Five, as they're winning three games. Games to no games. Chicago over Brooklyn, 79-76. So tough loss for the Dodgers. Scottie Pippen, 20 boards, and Bill Wennington, good Canadian boy, off the bench to pour in five, including one from downtown. Dude, it's not 1987. Listen to Your Heart by Roxette isn't number one on the charts. Driving an IROC Camaro isn't considered cool anymore.
You had an interesting take on the BC Lion drilling the streaker at BC Place in week one.
I did.
You want to hear a joke before I go?
Sure.
You know this week we be on a bye, right?
Yeah, I'm aware.
You know what Drew Tate calls it?
Oh, good God, what?
The bye week.
Meow! All right. Worst one I ever saw. Two galoots, more galoots, got into a mean tussle. Kicking and spitting, crashed right through the doors and into the street. One fella ended up drowning right in the Bowmeister.
Oh, this one here, Danny. Pat Steinberg.
Signed out of the Calgary Sport and Social Club Ball Hockey League, it says here. Looks like a deer in the headlights out there.
I'd venture to guess he's never skated before.
Is he wearing eyeglasses?
I think he's using the wrong-handed stick.
My spindly little legs on this prospect. I mean, mix in a leg workout.
Just awful, Cavs. Yeah, awful.
Says here in the game notes, Billy, he's a virgin, Steinberg. Never even kissed a...
Score! Steinberg! 13-0 Flames off the spectacles and in his first NHL goal!
Just incredible. That might be the first time he's ever scored.
The one and only Andrew Walker, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
We were texting yesterday and I sent you kind of like what I remember of stuff we did, and we did so much stuff. Oh my God. There's so much stuff that I don't remember, like half of that.
I don't even...
Levi is great.
How long did we even work together? Because you were here, and then I was in afternoons. We worked together in Red Deer. Andrew and I, longtime friends. We were friends before we ended up doing the show together. And I said earlier, Walks, that you were such a help to me, if only just to calm my nerves. We had a relationship, so I could at least... I didn't have to worry about incorporating somebody that I didn't know into the show. You were a big help to me. But I don't even remember before you left to Toronto, because that's what it was. You went to the morning gig there. When did you leave? When did you go to Toronto?
I left in August of 2013. So we only did, and things move fast, because we only did the morning show for a couple of years. And I've told you this a lot. I've always been impressed because, like, it's 2022. And you still play, like, you know, That Stupid or the player profiles, and like people still reference it. You play drops, and it's like, that doesn't happen in radio or Canadian radio. Like, references going 9 years, like, shows don't even last 2 years, right? So you were working in Calgary. You're doing the morning show with Kerr.
Afternoons.
Show with Kerr. And they needed, and I was working in Red Deer. I was still a pretty young guy. So we're talking, you know, 2010, I was, you know, 26. And they needed someone to work on the morning show with Richards. And you were the one that said, hey, like, you should get your stuff in here and send it to Kelly. So I did, and I got hired. And so it wasn't even a year. I worked on the last iteration of Mike Richards in the morning, and I was Mike's co-host. And then he kind of left overnight one night to go to Toronto after years of threatening to do so. And so he was gone, and that was it. And I wasn't a seasoned pro. Like, I had just kind of started this long form, you know, sports radio thing that I was kind of learning. And, you know, so Kelly parachuted you in the morning temporarily. And yes, at least we kind of knew each other. And one of the things I remember, I mean, I don't read the stuff in the comments like I used to, but I remember being a young guy, and Mike Richards was an institution. He left, and I remember reading, you know, the internet. I remember reading, you know, the message boards, and I remember reading Reddit or whatever. And it was so intimidating because, you know, people were attached to what Mike did, and you know, I'll never listen again, and like, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And it was me and you. And I remember early on, you were like, we don't be funny. Don't try to be funny. Let's just do what we do. Let's just do sports stuff, like straight ahead, north and south. We'll talk Flames. We can't try to be Mike Richards. We just got to do the thing. And it was hard because you felt like you were not liked, and you were, you know, replacing something. But, you know, people want to be entertained and people want to have fun. And it was not long until we found our own little niche to carve. And then because we think we're funny guys, we love to laugh. And then we started kind of going down that road and doing funny stuff, and people liked it. And it was just kind of this, it gave us this momentum. And then I heard you with Rhett, and it was probably a year into us doing the show, we brought in Rhett on a random Wednesday, and then that turned into the next era of the show. And I left in 2013, so you know, we only done it for over a couple of years. And I'm still like I'm still a part of the show. It's a very weird thing, and one that just it's impossible to recreate.
Oh man, there's just so many great. I mean, you were part of some classics. Here's one that I didn't get to.
The truth is in the pudding, as they say.
No one says that. That's not even remote lightning in a bucket.
I said to Rhett, we were stealing money in those days. We were having so much fun, and it was just, you could feel it, right? You could just feel that we were getting somewhere, and it was resonating with the people. Because, like you say, you'd go out, and it's like you hear when someone's to a way lesser, you go on SNL, and then it's Monday or Tuesday, and people are reciting back the, you know, we need more cowbell lines to. We would hear people, oh, yeah. The truth is in the pudding, the lightning in a bucket.
Well, you guys made, like, hats or T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had shirts made, yeah.
But, yeah, it was so funny. And to piggyback on something that Rhett said, I remember it's like we've got to talk more sports. like you know, we talk about nachos for 3 hours. And I felt like I was like, I don't know if this is sustainable. But people just liked it because, you know, we forget that, you know, some people do, but people don't listen for 3 hours at a time. A lot of people are today, I bet. But people listen for 10, 15 minutes on their commute. And if they didn't get a Rhettism or a that's stupid or, some laughs or some nacho or burger talk, like if they didn't get that, they felt left out. Yeah. Right. So we started, you know, I'd do like a player profile or that's stupid. We'd have to do it like three times, like one an hour, just so people would be included.
Which is a good point for me to pivot. The sarcastic player profile, it started in the old dump of a building. The morning show had their own office. So I was in the office one day, and Kelly, he walks, needed you to do some. So we're going into the season, I think it was, do some player profiles. Yeah. And you're like, oh, God, like, what am I going to say about Mark Jankowski? Like, hey, Mark Jankowski, real good value in the first.
Oh, man.
Right?
It was worse because it was, just another day. And then Kelly was famous for, like, oh, could you do this, like, little side project? But it's, like, just gigantic. It's, like, you know, designing an office building. And it's like probably like Friday or something. I'm like, oh Christ, like now, like I got like 3 hours of work to do. And he's like, we sold, people love prospects. So we sold the Flames prospect profiles. And at the time, like 2011, Flames had the worst prospects in the history of hockey. Like it was like John Negrin and Cam Cunning. And like they had nobody, like God love them. But like Brett Sutter was like their fifth best prospect. Anyway, so I'm looking through these guys. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what? Like, none of these guys are going to play in the NHL. Like, what am I supposed to lie? And we started doing them. Like, oh, like I feel like I'm piling on John Negrin. He's probably a local boy. But I'm like, so we started like, oh, John Negrin, what a skater. We started doing them sarcastically, and you were like, that's what you should do. You should do them sarcastically. And we obviously couldn't because it was a thing being sold. But you're like, how about we do one? Because the season's a week away. You're like, let's do one for, like, the NHL. Like, let's do one for the visiting team. And so we did. And prior to the season opener, again, it's so people don't understand. Like, you it's like a comedian telling a joke on stage. Like, you try something and you put it out there for the world to see. And it might be terrible. Like, I'm sure we did stuff that was awful and one and done. And we like, let's never speak of that again. But we did one for Patrick Marleau, which like looking back, I don't even know if it's that funny, but we played it pregame and it's, again, you still use the clip. And when the San Jose Mercury News or whoever it was asking Marleau about it in the postgame interview in the dressing room about the disrespect, we both kind of knew we had something because people couldn't wait for the next one.
This is the one that got, like you say, you knew you would hit it when the opposing newspapers and media are talking about it. This is the sarcastic player profile of Patrick Marleau that got it all going.
It's the sarcastic player profile with our little ray of sunshine, Andrew Walker, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
In the National Hockey League, there are only a handful of players who treat big games like life and death. Guys you can truly rely on to elevate their game when it counts the most. Nobody fits that bill better than Patrick Marleau of the San Jose Sharks. Selected second overall by San Jose in 1997. And boy, has he sure played in the NHL since then. Marleau's best trait isn't his skating or shooting, but rather his ability to conserve energy. Nobody does it better. Always leaving gas in the tank for the Sharks' annual five-game Stanley Cup playoff run. As one scout told me, you just can't teach that. Nobody ever questions Marleau's leadership ability. He's one of the game's best. But one man can only take on so much responsibility. And San Jose gave him a much-needed break three seasons ago, ripping the captain C off his sweater. And at only $6.9 million in salary the next 2 years, what a bargain. How do you spell winner? M-A-R-L-O. Marleau.
And that was, there's the M-A-R-L-O, Marleau. And I'll say this, because I'm going to play more here in a moment. Pretty tame compared to how it got over time.
So, and you know, it's funny. I almost feel bad because, like, I love Patrick Marleau. Like, at the time, he was, like, a top 10 NHLer. And yeah, San Jose didn't go on these deep playoff runs. But, like, after he did that, he played, like, another 1,400 games. Like, guy's a Hall of Famer. And we just unloaded on him.
There's a few people that took it right in the teeth there that actually went on to Hall of Fame careers.
But it's like, you know, the Ricky Gervais thing. It's just like, it's a joke. Like, you can't get mad. It's joking, right? But the big thing, I remember another kind of stepping stone that kind of made it bigger is that it was in the early days of Friedman's 31 Thoughts. And there was this thing, because that night, of course, Marleau threw in a couple. And then the next night, Anaheim was in town, or two nights later, and we did Andrew Cogliano, zoom, zoom, he's so fast.
Yeah.
And he scored like 3 points. And so for the first month, it was like this weird thing where this didn't last, but like the first month, every guy that we roasted would come into the dome and score two. And some people, like superstitious people, were like, stop doing these. Like, you're killing the Flames. And then Friedman wrote about it and did the stats in 31 Thoughts, which was so funny. It was like the 31st thought, or by then it was 30 Thoughts. It was before Vegas.
One of the legendary ones, and I've cobbled a bit of it together, and I don't know why, because again, when you'd pick somebody, who do I take? Or like you say, we're now doing Minnesota three or four times. Well, who do you do? This guy took it in the teeth when he was on a number of different teams, the Calgarian Danny Heatley.
Danny Heatley, out for the season with a shoulder ailment. Amazing how much stress one can put on that joint, constantly lifting all those chocolate shakes and armfuls of chicken nuggets. It was quite the ride in California, where in between breakfast sandwiches, he formed one of the greatest underachieving lines in NHL history with Joe Thornton and our good buddy Patrick Marleau, Danny Heatley. I mean, dry land training consisting mainly of dry ribs. I mean, number 15 focused more on pizza bagels than pucks. When not stocking up on Reese's peanut butter cups and trying to squeeze himself into a 46 large, Heatley can be found gliding around in the high slot, tapping that stick on the ice in hopes of that famous 1T clapper. Hey, Danny, that post-game pizza's for the whole team. In at the Dome, Saturday night, Danny Heatley and the Minnesota Wild. Not everything needs gravy.
That poor bastard.
That was part of the bit, because I remember, like, we'd like do him over and over again, and sometimes we'd like fake it out too, like we were gonna do like.
Well, it was Mikko Koivu.
We were gonna do like Mikko Koivu. We were gonna do someone else, and then we'd pivot to Heatley. Yeah,
a challenging year for Mikko Koivu. But what do you expect on a line with Danny Heatley? And then you just lay right back into Heatley again. This, you talk about getting attention. this one came up. It was Vancouver. I think it's Jason Garrison. We'll find out. This was a news story. The 660 newsroom. They're like, I think they're talking about you in Vancouver.
It usually takes a while for the Canucks-Flames rivalry to build. Not this year. Three games into the season, and our sister station, the Fan 960 in Calgary, is mocking the Canucks and pricey free agent Jason Garrison.
His list of positive attributes are as follows. A booming slap shot.
That's part of one of morning host Andrew Walker's sarcastic player profile. So why is he picking on Vancouver?
Flames fans absolutely hate the Canucks.
And the feeling is mutual. Jesse Johnston, News 1130.
I mean, you can't, you know you're doing it right when it's when that's happening. Like, we just knew we had it, and it was, I'll play another. I've got another, I put together a montage on, I'll play it for you on the way out, but... you know, it was two things. I was in a bad spot there for a while. I had the suspension, as we know. And, I leaned on you a lot because I needed help then. And I don't know if I've ever really told you, but you were a big part of getting me back on my feet there because I kind of thought it was over. I thought for sure I was getting fired, and I like across the country, people hated me, and I was like, there were death threats and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, it's over. But I came back in, and you did so much heavy lifting for me. And thanks. Years later, thanks for helping, because it was rough there for a stretch for sure for me.
Yeah, it feels like a long time ago, and given, you know, everything that's happened, it's you know, it was either would have been way worse today or really wasn't that bad.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, but you know,
we don't need to talk about it. I did.
No, I know. I moved around a lot. You know, I left for, and not that I regret leaving for Toronto. It's what you do. It's a, you know, chasing it in the business or whatever. And it was always tough to, you know, I covered a lot of cool things. I did some cool shows and there was some bright lights, and it's just what you did, what you guys did, you know, what we did. It's just, it doesn't exist anywhere else. You know, I never worked with another co-host quite like it. I never worked in another market quite like it. You know, Toronto is a lot of pressure, and you know, Vancouver ended up being a disaster, and I mean, God, like, not like I'm done, right? Like you know, mm-hmm. your one show basically outlasted my whole career, and I'm a goddamn prodigy.
Yeah, like, that's right. But, yes. Yeah, I
but,
hear you.
You know, I would not, and I don't say this lightly, and I don't say it for you know, I would say it to anybody else, but you know, there's no way I develop and I get to you know, some of the things I did without you. You know, you're a mentor, you're a friend. You know, I'm sure there's other people like me. The things I learned and the things I learned, you know, not to do, and the times you basically shook me and were like, pick your goddamn battles, kid. Like, you know, that was a big thing when I was younger too. And I don't know. It's the only, I don't consume much media, you know, once you're doing, you get up in the morning, you do your show, you do 3-4 hours of radio. And last time, the thing I want to do is listen to other radio shows. But I, no matter where I was, I would always, you know, tune into to an hour of you know, Boomer a couple times a week. Cause it's just, you know, I'm like everybody else. I was really proud to be a small part of it, especially early. And I was always kind of jealous when I saw you guys doing so much cool stuff and you know, whether it was the rec hockey games or the hats or, you know, whatever it was, it's just, you should be really, really proud of what you've done.
And I'm proud of you because the business, as we know, I'm leaving and I'm walking out. I could, if I stay till tomorrow, maybe I'm getting fired. It's a crazy business and you can't take it personal. And I know that you got that news over a year ago, but you're back. Your new podcast is out. It's called The Hedge. anywhere you get podcasts, thehedgepod.com, right?
Yeah.
And you're doing great work. You have not missed a beat. You're better now than you've ever been. And I'm proud of you for having the strength and the guts to do it. And it meant a lot for me to have you on today.
Well, I'm glad. I know you don't want any of this. Like, you know, it's humbling, you know, and I know you don't want the accolades and things like that, but like, I'm really glad you're doing this today. You know, people deserve, no one gets to leave on their own terms. Like I tweeted this week in the tweet thread about you, like everyone just gets over and you know, you're done and you get to step away and, you know, people get to listen today and God, I'd love to see the ratings today, but like, you know, people are going to get to say goodbye and you get to say goodbye. And, it's just how it's supposed to be because no one else gets that. And I'm proud of you for going out on your own terms.
All right. Back to the dumb stuff. Thanks, Wox. I love you, pal. Stay in the line. Well, you don't need to, you can hear it after or whatever, but,
I'll be listening to the rest of the show. No worries.
We're going to go out on a sarcastic player profile montage. But thanks, buddy. Love you. Proud of you. We'll see you soon, okay?
Yeah.
Andrew Walker, thanks for being on. There he is. We'll break. We'll come back. Phone call, apparently. When we come back, we go to break with some of the best of the sarcastic player profile with the great Andrew Walker.
It's the sarcastic player profile with our little ray of sunshine, Andrew Walker, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Everything is bigger in Texas, including terrible defenseman Jamie Oleksiak.
Rafi Torres, when he's not playing chess, solving complex algorithms, or finishing off his sommelier course, he can be found beating opponents about the head with his stick.
Jared Spurgeon available, despite it being the Christmas season, and we all know how busy Santa's workshop gets in December. Yes, short jokes, that's what's coming. Get used to it. Not everybody thinks giving 15% of your cap to a Russian goalie is the right move, but fellow Russians Nikolai Khabibulin and Ilya Bryzgalov both say, hey, good deal. The totally sweet Tyler Seguin. Segs brings his tats and beer bong to the dome this evening. Tyler is a true bro and is looking forward to his snips and his tucks tonight. Bro, Ryan O'Reilly, one of the leaders in face-off wins in the NHL and also among the league leaders in smashing into Tim Hortons drive-thrus at 4 a.m. Yes, an excellent Tim Hortons smash coursing. Ryan Ellis, despite standing 4'9", has actually turned into a very dogged defender. When asked about his motivation, he says, they're always after me Lucky Charms.
He's nicknamed Suede Redden because he's so smooth. You know what's not so smooth, Suede? The bus ride from Connecticut to Albany. He's seen that one a few times.
Radko Gudas, dumb. You know what you're going to get with the Coyotes? That neutral zone clogged up more than Boomer's arteries. I've seen Boomer and Rhett in Vegas before. A few beverages, and next thing you know, you're at the Pepper Mill at 3 a.m. with the offensive line of the New York Jets.
He has the same name as a middle-aged woman who smokes 3 packs a day and runs the local 5-pin bowling alley. Hey, Val, can I get a size 10? Judging by the hyphenated name. Also, we assume, a product of divorce. Ryan Kessler. Oh. Speaking of Disney, his favorite scene in Bambi? The opening scene, you know, where the deer dies? Good. Remarked Kessler.
Jimmy Howard. That's a kid's name. Carter began his career with a bang in Philly, but after 6 seasons, things started to go south when he was asked to do the unthinkable. Give up Mai Tais and Alabama Slammers for a whole month. No way, said Carter. I mean, a man has his limits.
Ilya Kovalchuk, who was so hard to coach last year, Willie DeJardin said, L.A., Hollywood, Walk of Fame, f*** it. I'd rather be in Medicine Hat.
Flames taking on Ryan Getzlaff and the Ducks tonight. Hey, Getzy,
Dr. Phil called. He wants his haircut back. Mike Fisher. When not wheeling around the neutral zone, he can usually be found holding purses at award shows with his celebrity wife, Kelly Clarkson. Zero goals? Like, zero? You know who has zero? Me. I have zero goals. Also, Steinberg. Drew Doughty of the LA Kings. Slightly better at hockey than Steinberg.
In all seriousness, it's okay for your best pal to be your brother. At least, that's what Pat Steinberg says. Hey, Pat, you're supposed to stop taking baths together when you're like four. It's weird now.
This guy won a Hart Trophy and a rocket? Was it on EA Sports? He hasn't scored 20 goals since 2015. Honestly, Pat Steinberg scores more than this guy.
The main attraction continues to be Brent Burns and his facial hair. He's very popular because he didn't shave. Burns also has an admirable trait. He likes animals. Amazing. Give him the Norris. Brent Burns, he has hair and doesn't hate dogs.
Who cares? Go start Warner on D. Who gives a shit? Rest up.
Alish Hemsky of the Edmonton Oilers. It's like that old saying, when the going gets tough, we'll be right back.
There you go. Some of the great work by Andrew Walker over the years with the sarcastic player profile. That thing sold immediately. Our pal Brian with South Street Burgers. Yeah, if he's doing it, I'm in. You just book me. Until that ends, I'm in. We continue to roll on here. I'm told to skip the break because we have a special phone call. I believe the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving. Brad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
I'm good. People like to, well, we go down memory lane. People like to remind me of the day that you were hired because I was in the old studio and we had a bunch of balls in the air. I'm trying to text people and get info. And I called you by your dad's name. So once about every 4 or 5 weeks, someone will text in and say, hey, what's Jim Treliving doing at the trade deadline, stupid? So yeah. They listen, and they listen forever. But it's good to have you. Nice of you to call.
Called me worse. You've called me worse over the years, so we'll take that. But now, I guess, is this real? Or is this just some sort of ploy? I mean, I've heard of guys demanding trades or looking to... leverage their current situation. So what's going on?
No, it's been a good run. I'm happy to, I guess I'm happy. I love the show and I love doing it. It just does feel like I'm kind of at a point where maybe I need a change. The mornings are killing me at certain times. There's that the month of February, I have to kind of mentally prepare and plan myself for. It's pitch black. You don't see daylight. You're tired. You're playing games in Anaheim that start at 8:30 at night that I have to watch and then get up at 3 the next morning. But it just kind of feels like it's time. It's hard for me to leave, and I'm happy about that. I don't want to leave hating the company or hating your boss or hating your coworkers and none of that. I love all of it. So it just kind of feels like the right time, I guess.
Well, it's hard to say this for a guy in the sports business to comment on the media, comment positively on the media guy, but he was, in the time that I've been in town, you've been gracious to us. There's times that, I was hoping that you'd jump out in front of traffic, I guess, but for the most part, you've been great with us. From what they tell me, the show is pretty entertaining. I can't tell you I'm a regular listener, but
no, of course not.
I guess they, the big thing I'd say is this, this doesn't mean that Pinder's getting more work, is it? That's not part of the deal, is it?
I would tune in Monday. He's away this week. I think he's actually out doing getting prepped right now. So, you look forward to it. I said it the other day. It's exciting for the listeners. And I know that you move on. And a new show is going to start. And it's going to be a new takes, new attitude, new opinions and stuff. And I've said kind of all I need to say, I think. You get to repeating yourself. But no, I'm not sure what the show is going to look like. But you'll hit the ice in fall, and big things for everybody.
Yeah. Well, so what happens? What happens Monday morning? What do you do now? It's just probably a big sleep in, right?
Yeah, I won't set an alarm. which will be all right. Although I'm already told that there's stuff to be done around the house and that the kids have a bunch of stuff on the go. So if anything has me second guessing, it might be that. But no, nothing. I'm just going to, it sounds kind of soft maybe, but I'm just going to take the summer and see, spend time with the kids, see them in the morning. You know, that's the one thing that I've never really done is seen them wake up because I'm already gone. And so that's all. Just get to fall. Get to training camp. Maybe you'll need someone to fill water bottles or something. I'll slide by and we'll go from there. While you're on, I want to say, I talked to earlier, Walker helped me in a big way, and Stephen Brunt kept coming on the show, and that kind of had me thinking I'm doing the right thing. And then Warner stuck around, made me think I was doing the right thing. And you were part of this too. You kind of tipped your hat. It was in 2014-15, and we were, just stupid stuff we'd do all the time. And you guys were close to a playoff spot, and it was like, are you in? Are we in? Are you in? You clinched that night. I remember it. You beat, I think it was the Coyotes. You were in the hallway, kind of down the tunnel, high-fiving and hugging the guys as they came off. And everybody was pumped. It was the playoffs, and I got a text, and it was from Brad Treliving, and it just said, "You in?" And that was awesome. It was like, because I knew you were listening and we could have some fun with it. And it kind of took our relationship to another level. And it just kind of made me feel like what we were doing was okay. So, and you've been great to me, you know, privately and that behind the scenes as well. So I thank you for all you've done for us and for me.
Well, we wish you all the best. All kidding aside, you've, like I said, you've created a following there, and in what I think is a line of work that changes quite often. And whether you're on the sports side or whether you're in the media side, there's always a little turbulence. And you've been a constant since I've been in town here. So I know the people that follow you, the people that listen to you, are going to miss you greatly. This isn't a funeral. We're not, I'm sure you're going to bounce up somewhere or pop up somewhere. But you've made an impact in the community and not a lot of people do that. So we wish you all the best. You're certainly going to be probably back working because, within a week or so, I'm sure your family's going to be sick at you. So whether you want to or not, they'll shove you back out the door. But appreciate everything over the years, Boom, and we wish you nothing but the best and get some rest.
Thanks, Brad. That's very nice of you to call in. I was going to say, while I have you on, I know you've got a lot of work to do. I mean, I'm looking at these contracts. I'm not getting any Gaudreau pressers. I figure you're not going to be using that boat again this summer. I thought maybe I'd slide into BC and use that sucker if you're not using it.
Yeah, it's probably going to be sitting on the trailer. So if you got time, sure, fire out there and it's all yours.
Yeah, leave the keys in it. Thanks, Brad. Be well. Good luck this summer getting everything done, and good luck next season.
You bet. Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, you pal. There's Brad Treliving. Very nice of him to check in. The relationships you make, man, is amazing. I'm looking at the clock now. I got to get to the top of the hour. Do we want to do a quick break? Because I'm going to be breaking down at some point. We can break and come back for a farewell.
Let's do a break here. And then we'll come back for a farewell.
All right. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get through 13 minutes here. If in fact that's 13 minutes away, so we'll go. Do I have anything here? This was a segment that we would do a lot of beta testing. Try something. Mm-hmm. Like there was dude and huh and wah and go ahead. We had a lot of those things that we would try in the summer and that never really got off the ground. This, as we go to break, was another one that everybody thought would have been a hit but never did make the light of day.
It's Boomer's Kijiji Christmas. Why buy new brand name quality items when you can sit in your basement, search around online like a creep, and buy some stranger's used crap? Because you're cheap, that's why. Knock back some rum and eggnogs and pass the gravy. It's Boomer's Kijiji Christmas on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Round in the corner, heading home. Over the years, we've always had the odd montage. J-Boy was always good at throwing together a montage, whether it was a... Well, what did we have? I was looking this morning... When you talk, I've called it a stupid show over and over again, and it makes you, maybe we were more serious than we thought. Oh, look, a poop montage.
I poop so much.
Poop in my pants.
I did poop myself the other day.
Poo?
I shit my pants last night.
Poop like five times a day.
Poo?
I poop! Or a balls montage.
Balls.
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 The Hairy Balls Government Center.
The answer was balls?
No balls.
Hey, I prefer a place where my balls are returned prompt.
My balls was hot.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So we didn't take things too seriously,
no.
Is what people are telling us.
No. Yeah. Uh-uh.
Well, yeah, I guess so. It hit me when I started doing all this, when I finally kind of turned the corner and, all right, let's, if we're going to say goodbye and do this thing, let's get into the audio. My good heavens. Not only have we done silly stuff, but we have been doing it for a long time. And I'm happy that it kind of went this way in the end. I'm happy it was not more than 4 days, but it's been amazing. And I just want to say, like, to you, Maddie, and to Garrett in the next room, and to Dumas, and to everybody who works here, like, don't buy into the negativity. This 4 days has been the first time that I can recall where the negativity has been outweighed by positivity, and it's been very nice. But, and I thank Mike Richards for it, because he was brilliant, like I've said all morning. He had an untouchable show. And there was no way that I was going to be able to do anything. And I don't think I have. I think we filled the air that he left behind, but it's a different show. And the stuff that he has done is on such an elite level, will never be touched. No one thinks the way he does. And it's what makes him brilliant. And he's an artist and all of that. But he also made me sharpen my sword. You better be good. Get it. Don't come in unprepared. Don't be lazy. Get it going. And if it was just another show, I maybe wouldn't have had that same, you're going to work, but I wouldn't have had so much focus and just sickness in my gut to be as good as I could. And I don't know who's going to sit in this chair, and it might be, you've got it all. You've got work ethic. You got a great attitude. People love you. Don't buy in. And for anybody, Logan, Will, Sandra Priscina, everybody, keep positive. Don't buy into the negativity, if there is any, because you don't deserve it. And I just say to people, give everybody a chance. I thought about it this morning when I came here. It was my third try of trying to get here. I applied first, I forget what year it was, but Mark Stiles, play-by-play voice of the Calgary Hitmen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He is leaving. They're hiring a new play-by-play guy. I am not a play-by-play guy. I've done some more. It was more like jokey, like our beer league type stuff. I did some over the years, but I had no play-by-play experience and no reason to apply for the job. But I knew some people. I knew Mark. He put in a good word, and I got down to the final two. No business, like none. And it was amazing to go through that process. I came to Calgary. I put my suit on. I sat in with Ken King and Kip Regnus at the time. And so, can you give us any more? Do you have any more any more tape? Do you have any more of your play? No, I really don't. And I didn't get the job, and I shouldn't have got the job. And Brad Curl got the job, and he had about a decade of Western Hockey League play-by-play experience, and he absolutely was the guy for the job, and he continues. He was great. So, and really, the reason I wanted the job was, it would have been cool to do play-by-play, but I just wanted to get to Calgary. I wanted to live in Calgary. I wanted to be able to be at the Dome, maybe sneak around and see Flames practice or game day skates, or gosh, ever get to a game. It would be awesome. Then I was in Red Deer. I applied again. There was an afternoon spot available. I think it was an afternoon. I'm not even sure who had left at that point. Applied, talked to Kirsch at the time, but I heard that there was a guy in the running, and I knew he was going to get the job because he deserved to get the job. He was a monster. He was energetic and entertaining, and again, had been hosting talk sports radio for a long time. And I knew he was going to, as soon as I heard, I hear that Rob Kerr is in the running, it was like, well, I'll just lay down. I'll just lay my weapon down. He's going to get it, and he should. And he did. And then the third try, it was to co-host. Joe Sports passed away. Bruce Dobigan sat in for a long time. And there I felt the pressure too, because Joe was great. Oh, I don't want to blabber. I don't want to blubber here. Joe was so great. I listened to him. I was a big fan. And there again, don't be Joe Sports. Just come in and try and keep up with Kerr. That's all I was trying to do. So, thanks to Kirsch for meeting me for Teen Burgers or whatever the hell it was in Red Deer at the A&W. To Kerr for teaching me how to, showing me how to prepare to be a pro. I forget, like, if you use 20% of your prep, you're well prepared. It's kind of, I don't even know what the percentage is. But man, he worked and put in the time and the effort. And I learned a lot from him how to do this. And I sat and watched one of the greatest to do it. To Walks, he was there, as I said, I needed help. And he was a big, big help. Rhett coming in gave me confidence I didn't have. Pinder, God, I was so mean to him when he came in. You know why? Because one of my best friends ever left in Walks. And Pinder came into an unwinnable situation, and he was up for anything. Do you want to try and... You heard the dumb bits. We'll do some bits, whatever you want to do. He tried so hard. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was so mean, and it bugs me to this day. And the thing about Pinder is, I've come to appreciate him so much more and more over the years through COVID and through all of that. And people come on and say, Pinder won't stop talking. A lot of what you hear is shtick. Not all of it, but he gets that it's entertainment. We get that it's entertainment, and we play into it. People will say, Pinder takes up a lot of space. And there's days I need him to take up a lot of space. He makes this job so easy for me, and I love working with him, and he's great, and he's going to be great. Jason DeForest in the next room for so long. Man, we would do stuff. He would be hitting the clip. He would already have found the clip and be playing it. As I'm starting to think, you know, be a good, oh, we should play. Bang, it's hit. And it's like, you can't recreate that. I remember, I think it was my first day doing the afternoons with Kerr. And I was intimidated and it was tough. But I got through it. We were in the Northeast. I remember I was driving by, whatever, on Barlow, I guess it was, when it was still open up by the airport, and I was listening to Flames at 5, because I was done at 5, and Rob had Perry Barazan on that day. And Kirk comes in, Perry, oh, come Flames at 5, and Perry Barazan's coming in, and Perry jumped in. He's like, so the new guy, what's it, is it Dean Malberg, is that what his name? As Perry is, you know, that energy that he has. He's like, yeah, that's who he is. Man, it's today his first day kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. Man, he was really good. You guys are going to be, he was really good. So great. I'll never forget it. The fun that we had in here, I'm glad to be leaving while it's still fun. I'm not sour. Rogers has been great to me. I know the big companies get through ups and downs. I've had kids, all of this. They've been great. So don't hate on, you know, I have no hate for my company, for my bosses, my coworkers. And that's how I want to go out. I'm happy. I'm good. And to the listeners, I'm sorry for almost not doing this. Because it was selfish, thinking it was my show and I was just going to go. It's always been our show. We sat in here and we laughed as Rhett sold his truck on the air and the pig mask and the garbage and sitting with the eggs, and we got our helmets on and we laughed. and we cried when we lost Gord Downie, and we did contests in the 10 years ago when the answer was Paradise City, and you text in today with answers to trivia questions saying, is it Paradise City? You were there the whole way. And it's been a blast, and it's been great. And I love you. And how else do you go out? Hey, Garrett, have you ever put the bird in the air? Have you ever put the bird in the air?
Put the bird in the air, boom.
Let's do
it, buddy.
Let's put the bird in the air one more time. See ya, buddies!